Welcome to Imprint, a podcast about creating a home and life you love. I'm Natalie Walton, an interior designer, stylist, and best-selling author focused on an holistic approach to homes. Each week, I'm sharing insights and interviews about the creative process to help you enhance both your interiors and well-being, as well as provide you with the tools and resources to make considered and sustainable choices with all that you create. If you want to learn how to create a beautiful home like the ones you see in your favorite books, magazines, or social feeds using what you already have and love, I'm excited to share that my new book, Style: The Art of Creating a Beautiful Home, is now available in Australia and New Zealand, and it's coming soon to the rest of the world. So if you buy or pre-order the book before the 5th of July, you will get instant access to some free bonuses. First of all, you will go into the draw to win one of 10 places in the Styling Masterclass, valued at $799. Secondly, you will get a free workbook on how to find your style. And finally, you will get instant access to 3 styling insider guides, including how to style step by step, walking you through how to style space, a styling checklist, what you need to make sure you have in each space, and your essential styling toolkit, which includes the essentials I have in my home that help me always be ready to style my spaces. These free bonuses are only available when you buy or pre-order my new book, Style, before its international release on the 5th of July. All you have to do to claim your bonuses is go to nataliewalton.com/stylebook and enter your receipt or order number from your bookseller, and you will get instant access to the downloads and will automatically go into the draw for the giveaway. You will find all the T's and C's there too. So go to nataliewalton.com/stylebook to enter the giveaway and claim your free bonuses. Have you ever considered how the energy of your home can affect how you live and the results that you get in your life? Feng Shui works on the principle that everything is energy and that everything carries information. From the things in your home to the people you interact with and the things you choose to do. Today's guest, Julie DeRonda, says that what we choose to have in our home can not only give you energy, but cost you energy too. I'm excited to share not only my conversation with Julie, who is a Feng Shui expert, but that after we spoke, she has translated her free guide on the topic into English, because she's Dutch. I will share a link in the show notes. But for now, please enjoy my conversation with Feng Shui expert, Julie DeRonda. Hi, Julie. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have you here today, and I am really looking forward to learning all about Feng Shui. Now, is that how you say it? How do you pronounce it?
Feng Shui. Yeah, Feng Shui. You pronounce it very well. Yeah. Thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. So I guess the first thing that I'm really curious to learn is how did you get into this? What's your background? And can you share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I haven't always been in the world of Feng Shui. In university, I studied business and I did a master's in finance. So I have a very different background than what I do nowadays. When I graduated, I started working in a big corporate firm on the financial department. But I found out, well, actually quite soon, that it wasn't what sparked my joy. I would meet friends and they would talk with so much enthusiasm about their job, and I didn't feel the same. So, but I actually was stuck in there for quite a long time, maybe 7-8 years, before I actually started to discover, well, this is not for me. I want to do something different. I want to make different choices. I had always been very passionate about interior design, about decorating my own home, helping friends whenever they moved. And that's when the whole process started within me to discover, well, then what is my passion and what would I like to do with that? And I started discussing it with people around me. And for some reason, one after another asked me, oh, are you going to do something with feng shui then? And I thought, what's everyone talking about? What is this? I'd heard about it in the past, and I thought it was all about putting Buddhas in your home and crystals and yin yang signs. And I thought, well, that's not me, but what are people talking about? So I started researching the concept and found out that there are actually a lot of different schools within the world of feng shui. One being more rigid and more traditional, and others being more modern. And when I read about the modern school, the one that I practice, it just clicked. And I thought, yeah, this is it. This is what I want to do. So that's how I got into the world of feng shui.
So I'm curious, why do you think your friends were suggesting that to you? Do you think that there was something about you that kind of brought that out?
Yeah, I think so. When I started thinking about what I wanted to do, if I wanted to start my own business and be more involved in interior design, what that would be for me. And the phrase that always popped into my mind was an interior coach. So not someone that does it for you, but someone that helps you. And I think that's what made people ask me the question if then feng shui is something I would work with, because it's more about how you decorate a space that feels good and that helps someone feel well and live the life that they want to, that they envision for themselves.
And so you are based in the Netherlands. Can you share whereabouts you're based, and is that where you grew up? And maybe give us a little bit of an insight into the types of homes that you've grown up in. I always think it's interesting to learn about people's home journey and mm-hmm. the types of homes that you grew up in, and what your space, maybe you could describe it to us today, so the listeners kind of get a sense of your own personal style. How has that evolved?
Yeah, I now live in Maastricht, which is in the very south of the Netherlands, and it's close to the border with Germany and Belgium, so it's a very international site as well. I studied here, so I did university here. After I graduated, I moved to Amsterdam, so I moved to a big, the biggest city in the Netherlands, and I loved city life in the beginning. But after 6 or 7 years, I found out that big city life was just not for me, that I like the more peace and quiet around me. So I moved back here to the south. And I actually moved quite some time, quite a lot of times in my life, I think about 12 or 13 times, both with my parents and both me when I lived on my own. I grew up in a very small small village, a small town. I was always, as a young girl, I was always busy redecorating my own room, moving the bed, moving the desk, just to feel what would be the best way to plan my own space. I very much like being on my own as a child and just being in my room, having my own imaginary world there, and decorating the space in a way that it would make me feel good. So that interest had always been there.
Yeah. And how do you think your style has evolved over the years? I'm always curious about that.
I think as a young girl, well, I was very much into soft colors and what a young girl is interested in. I've never been someone for that likes bright colors or that has a lot of stuff around herself. I think the most interesting thing is when I had a burnout a few years ago, and when I was recovering from that, my space reflected my recovery process. So I was very much overwhelmed with a lot of things happening in my life, and my space evolved into a very, very neutral, almost to say maybe too neutral, very white, clean environment, because that is what I was looking for in life. I was overwhelmed. I just moved back from the city into a more quiet area, and my style reflected that. up until I think last year, my boyfriend moved in with me in November, last November. So we're now in a process of making this home a home for two instead of a home for one. And when he moved in with me, he was he told me, well, I'd love to move in with you, but the place is very clean and very feminine at the moment. So we have to make that work. So we're doing that now. And it's a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine came by and she said, wow, your place is so colorful at the moment. And it's actually what's happening in my life at the moment. There is more color there. And my home is reflecting that.
That's fascinating, isn't it? I love that. Yeah. So can you share then a little bit about the principles of feng shui and how that applies to people's homes? Can you just give us a bit of an insight?
Yeah. Feng shui is all about the way our home influences us every day. So our home, and I think for the past 2 years, we've all noticed that to a great extent, our home influences us, the environment that we live in. The stuff that is there, the colors, it all has an influence on us. Everything is associated to a certain type of energy in our home, and an energy can be very yin, very soft and slow, or very yang, very bright and energetic. And it's all about balancing the energy in a home in a way that it suits you, that it matches you and your personality best. So that is what feng shui is all about. And it's our home impacts our well-being in a way. It's very simple, the chain reaction, as you can call it. If you live in an environment that is cluttered and where the energy cannot move freely, you'll notice clutter in your life. You'll notice chaos in your life. You'll take the chaos to bed. So you won't sleep well. You wake up, you're tired, you don't eat well, which impacts your confidence. So it's that in that way, when we wish for more more peace in our lives, or more confidence, or taking it into a different direction, everything starts in your home and creating a space around you that reflects the life that you want for yourself.
You use an analogy on your website, which I really loved, and it's this idea of starting at the front door and walking through. Can you share that with the listeners?
Sure. Feng shui, the modern version of feng shui that I practice, starts at your front door. So that's where the qi that feng shui works with enters your home, and that's where your story begins, so to say. It's where you decide who or what enters your life. So it's important that your front door is a strong entrance to your home, and with that, to your life. So it's how I always start when I work with clients, to have a look at what does that front door represent. Is it a welcome? Is it a warm welcome for yourself and for others? Is the chi, is the energy invited? Can it access your home, or is the path to your front door, are there lots of plants growing there? And is it actually not reachable? Does it have a name tag on is there a name tag on the front door and the number with, in other words, do you claim your space? Do you claim your space here on earth? So that's a way to look at the front door, the most important opening of the house. It's like the mouth of our house. And we decide what gets in there, yes or no.
That's really interesting. I'd never heard of that idea, because we're in the countryside and we live on a property. So we've got a number on our letterbox, which mm-hmm. is at the end of the driveway, but we don't have even a number on our front door. We don't have a name on the front door. Yeah, that's really fascinating. Really interested. And you also talk about walking through the space. It's imagining that you've got like a cup of tea mm-hmm. and walking. Can you share a little bit about that and what that idea is about?
Yeah. So the chi, the vital force or the life energy, enters your home through the front door, and it moves clockwise. So if you imagine yourself standing in your front door, or in the opening of your front door, and you hold your left side, you stick your left hand to the wall. and you just follow that wall, walk through your house, and you keep the hand on the left wall, and in your right hand you have a warm cup of tea. So how much time does it take before you're in one of the, well, in feng shui you call it the vital functions of your home, so either your kitchen or your the social space, your living room? How much time does it take you to get there? And in the meantime of walking through the home, what have you stumbled across? So is that cup of tea still full and warm once you're on the couch, or have you stumbled across chairs, stuff laying in the corner? So has tea spilled from your cup, and is the cup cold in the end? So that's a way to that's a way to very simply analyze the quality of qi, the quality of energy in your home.
So what ideally would you have then in that sense? What would maximize the amount of qi?
To be in one of the vital functions quite soon once you enter the home. So for example, you enter the home, you enter in a hallway, so you have a warm and nice welcome there. And then from there, one of the first rooms to enter is one of the rooms that you want a very vital energy. So for example, being the social space where you connect the people, that would ideally be a very good way to have the home organized or laid out. But of course, in reality, we often buy a home or we rent a home that exists already. So what feng shui offers you is solutions to either make the energy more vital or maybe slow down the energy a bit so that you can work from the home as it is.
Okay. And so I'm just curious, because we've got a front door, and as you walk through, there's like a nib wall on the left, which prevents you literally from falling into the living room because it's a sunken lounge. And as you walk from this front door, if you keep walking, basically it's opposite it is the back door. So like I said, we're kind of on a house that's like on a property. So it's like on 2 acres. So it's just, which is nice in the sense that we get cross flow air, you know, which when it's hot, we get a nice breeze through there, and we keep both of the doors open. So we kind of get the nice flow of there. But I'm curious, is that a bad thing in terms of the qi to have the front door and the back door opposite each other?
Well, one of the first things I like to mention is that there is no good or bad. So feng shui is all about perceiving and not so much about judging or saying something is good or something is bad. It's all about perceiving what the area or what the living environment does to you, what effect it has on you. But to answer your question, if the front and the back door are directly in one line, then the qi enters your home, but just as it enters your home, it also has a way to escape the home again. You can overcome that by making sure that the qi goes around the back door. So for example, putting a beautiful plant right next to the door so that it's invited to actually move the other way instead of just escaping through the back door at once.
Okay, interesting. And so you share also quite a lot of tips as well about different ways that you can enhance the feng shui in like different spaces, such as the office or the bedroom. Can you share some of those, maybe go through some of those kind of key rooms of the home and share, you know, what's important and what are some things that people could consider?
Definitely. I'll start with the bedroom. So in feng shui works with the five elements. So it's the elements that we find in nature. It's they're water, wood, fire, earth, and metal. And when decorating a home, it's interesting to have to understand what element the function is connected to. So in the case of the bedroom, sleeping is connected to the metal element, and it's a very yin energy. It's an energy that moves inwards, because what we do when we go to bed, we move inwards, we go to rest, and we recharge our battery. So when decorating the bedroom, it's important that the bedroom allows you to do that. So making sure that when you enter the bedroom, it's very clear what you're doing there. Sometimes you'll see that the bedroom has multiple purposes. So it's a bedroom. It also has a desk where we work at. There is maybe, I don't know, there are sports equipment there. So then it's actually quite, it's then not very clear what you're doing there. Do you enter the room to rest, to work, or to get your exercise? So move everything out of the bedroom that doesn't belong to sleeping, especially working, because if you would have a desk on your in your bedroom, you go to bed with work and you wake up with work. It's the first and the last thing you see. So make sure that that room is free of everything that doesn't have to do with sleeping. And with regards to the use of colors and materials, use soft tones. Metal is the metal element is connected to beautiful grays or pastels or white. So have soft tones in the bedroom. You can also enhance that and soften it a little bit by using the earth element. So that's everything that has to do with curtains, with a nice rug, with pillows, a nice sheet to sleep under. So that's something to take into consideration when decorating the bedroom. Also keep the area below the bed, keep it empty. It's sometimes a very convenient storage space, but the chi wants to move under your bed too. And if it can't, it will stagnate, it will be blocked. So keep the area under your bed free too. It's also best for making sure there is proper ventilation in the warmth can exit the bed in a good way. So keep that area clear, especially clear of clutter. And just keep it very calm.
It's so interesting you say some of those things, because when we moved into this house, the bedroom where we sleep, the sort of the main bedroom, they actually had an office off the bedroom. And I looked at that and I said to my husband, I don't want to be looking at my office when I wake up or when I go to bed. And then they had this other room, which was kind of like a walk-in robe. So we actually switched them because I didn't want to be looking at the office from my bedroom because it just didn't feel good to me. And I couldn't explain it other than it just didn't feel right. And also what you say about having things under the bed, because as you say, so many people love to use the space under a bed for storage. And I completely understand when you're in a small space, you really want to try and maximize storage as much as possible. But again, that has always felt wrong to me. Like there's something about it that just hasn't felt right. And I'm curious about one other thing, because I had somebody ask me about this, a student in one of my courses. And she was asking about, she had space in her bedroom to create a wall behind her bed and then have a sort of walk-in robe behind that. So I don't know if you know that idea of sometimes that there might be a gap on either side of the wall and you can access sort of like a walk-in area behind your bed. And I said, you know, certainly like if you've got no room to put it, but for me, again, I did say for me, I wouldn't like that thought of having something behind my head. Yeah. And I know that sounds almost a bit silly, or, you know, obviously sometimes you've just got to make the use of the space that you can, but I'm curious from, you know, a chi point of view, would that be something that you would try and avoid, having a kind of closet behind your head in a way?
Yeah, it depends on how that is organized in the room. But when we go to bed, we need to put our system to rest, like our subconsciousness. And whenever there is still something happening behind you, for example, there is a door just right next to the bed, something could come through the door, so to say. Something is happening behind you. So it actually makes your system or your subconsciousness alert, because there is still something happening. You don't have control, and you don't see everything happening in your room. So ideally, you would place that in a different position in the bedroom so that you overlook the walk-in closet instead of having it behind you. Yeah. Mm. And it's interesting what you say, that actually how you explain it, that's what feng shui is about. So you feel things, but you can't necessarily find the words for that. You feel that something is off, something doesn't make sense to you, but you can't explain it. And we as women, we're I think we're super receptive to that, even more than men are sometimes. So it's you explain it in a beautiful way, what how you feel about a room or a space, and you can't necessarily explain it, but it's just, yeah, something is just not right.
I know, certainly, again, and I think this is particularly in a bedroom, I like to have the door where I can see the door or see people coming into the room. I don't like the sense of people. Sometimes the way that you can arrange a bed in a room, you can have a bed like on an opposite wall and people can be coming kind of from behind you. And again, like that, maybe I watched too many horror movies as a child or something, but that's just never felt good to me, to have not be able to see people coming into the room. I need to feel safe, and I feel safe when I know where people are coming. Would that be another element of it?
That's what in feng shui you call the commanding position. So we like to be in charge. Same thing when we, for example, enter the waiting room at the dentist. We have a dentist appointment. We enter the waiting room. We tend to sit in the back corner where we overlook the whole room and where we see who's entering through the door. And that's the same goes for placing the bed in the bedroom. You want to overlook the main entrance of the bedroom so that you see whoever is entering the room in the evening or in the morning. Doesn't matter, but that it's the position is very important for you to completely relax when you sleep at night.
Yeah, I'm going to say one last thing about the bedroom. The other one, and I'm just curious to see what you say about this, is I prefer not to have a window behind me when I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. Because I feel almost a bit unsafe, and maybe it's one of those things from my mum saying that you shouldn't sleep under a window because you'll get a draft. I don't know when I was younger, but I'm just curious about the position of a window in a bedroom in terms of where you position your bed.
Yeah, well, you'd rather not position the bed under a window, also because the window also attracts the chi in a way. So if it moves from the door directly over your bed to the window, then you would have a lot of chi energy entering your bed, which can also cause a little bit of restlessness. So ideally, and in order to feel safe, we want our heads to be protected, because if our head is not protected, then some part of our brain is still active whenever we go to bed, whenever we sleep. So you want to feel completely safe. Well, of course, you'll come across bedrooms where positioning the bed under the window is the only way. But in those cases, I would always advise to have a headboard and have a big, and you can exaggerate with that, have a big headboard behind the bed so that you mimic the effect of having a wall behind you. That would be the best solution to that.
Interesting. All right, well, let's move on to productivity, because I saw that you were sharing some tips on your website about how feng shui could help increase your productivity in your home. Can you share some examples with that, perhaps if you've got a home office or, you know, other ways?
Yeah, I think in terms of energetics and in terms of feeling productive, feeling energetic, feng shui is all about eliminating clutter. So eliminating everything that no longer serves you, being it physical objects in your home that don't serve you, but every time you see them, there is this little voice nagging in your head that you still have to make a decision or that you still have to do something. It's both with physical, with things in your home, but also with tasks or making decisions. Also, what do I want to take on this assignment, yes or no? Do I want to have this meeting, yes or no? I still have to do my administration. Get it out of the way so that you're creating peace of mind for yourself. It works in your physical space, it works in your mind the same way. So the most important thing is to eliminate clutter and make it easy. Make sure that the vital force, the chi power, the chi energy can support you. In terms of productivity, the placement of a home office in your home is important. So the energy is built up in a specific way in our homes. It starts very yin at the front doors, and when it's moving through your house, it becomes more yang. And when you know how the energy is built up in your home, you can decide what would be the best place for you, the best placement to have your home office. And that very much depends on the kind of job you have. So if you need to concentrate and you need rest and peace around you, then look for a place in your room that's more yin. But if you have a very creative job and you need to be stimulated and you need vital energy around you, then look for a place that's more yang. So those are ways to work with feng shui in order to enhance your own productivity.
Okay. And so can you just define what the difference between yin and yang is again for us, please?
Yeah, sure. Yin is, well, some people will know it from different types of yoga. So we have yin yoga, which is very, which is easy, which is calm, which is restorative. The yin energy is the feminine type of energy, which is all about, which is cool and also it's connected to the more darker colors that will help you restore, that will help you come to peace. Yang is a more masculine, very active type of energy, which is connected to bright colors, to movement and being active. So those are the, generally speaking, the two types of energy that are out there.
And so how do you want to, what's something to try and think about in your home in terms of those types of energies? Is it just more related to the type of activity that you have within a particular space, or can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, that's the type of activity is the starting point to decide what type of energy you would like to the room to reflect. So for example, looking back at the bedroom is a very yin space. So what you would like to eliminate there are bright colors, a lot of stuff going on. So a lot of things happening, which is very yang. So you would want to create a very yin energy using soft colors. Maybe if you experience that you would, that you need more peace and quiet in your room, it's nice to work with more darker colors if that is, but that's a personal preference. Some people like that. Some people do not. Work with soft tones, work with upholstery, with curtains, with rugs. All these elements are connected to a very yin type of energy. So you look at the function and then you see, all right, so what type of energy should the elements here reflect? And then talking about colors, talking about furniture, materials. That's a way to think about the decoration of your home.
Okay. And you sort of obviously you touched on metal as a material in relation to the bedroom. Can you talk a little bit more about the other elements and how they relate to different spaces within the home?
Yeah, yes, definitely. So taking, for example, the wood element. Wood is an element that is connected to the family, that is connected to a new beginning, new ideas. So wood, the element wood is also connected to our living room, because that's the social room. That's where the family connects to each other. It's where you, whenever family comes over, you'll be sitting in the living room. So you would want the living room to reflect that element, because the element brings an energy with it that helps you connect, and that helps an energy that also feeds family life. So work with the wood element, have plants in the living room. Wooden furniture, green colors, to the extent that you like to have that. Because in feng shui, it's all about looking at the function, looking at the type of element that's connected to that, but also staying true to yourself. So it's not about right or wrong, or the living room should be green because that is connected to the wood element, it's connected to the family, but also staying true to yourself. Well, what do I like and what do I want my living room to reflect. The kitchen and food is connected to the earth element. So earth is all about feeding. It's about education. It's about feeding yourself. It's about feeding our closer relationships. So working with earthy colors is very much a good thing to do in the kitchen. But also making sure that the kitchen invites you to prepare a meal in a pleasant way. So having vegetables and fruits out there so that you yeah, so that you feel invited to prepare a nice and healthy meal there.
Yeah, okay, interesting. What about, so we've spoken about the wood and metal and earth. What about fire and water?
Fire and water, they are, in a sense, they are also the most extreme elements, because water is very, very yin and fire is very, very yang. So you'd like to have these in your homes, but with a certain nuance. So to an extent that feels good for you. The water element is overall connected to hallways or areas that you pass through, because that's what water does. It passes through. And then it's a way of looking at the hallway in terms of, what does it need? Is it a very dark and dense area? Do I need other elements to make it brighter? Or is it a very big white area? Do I need to make it a little bit more dense? So it's always a way of combining it. And every home and every person is different. So that's a way of looking at a home in terms of feng shui. Fire is related to creativity, to being creative, to fame and reputation. So how are you being acknowledged in the world? How are you expressing your own creativity? Those are things that fire relates to. And if you feel that those that is missing in your life, then look at the way, for example, your home. Look at the way your home is enlightened. Look at the lights in your home. Can the energy find its way within your home, or is it a way? Yeah, should you need more light and color in your home?
Interesting. So is lighting something that you often look at when you look at people's homes in terms of the kind of the energy of the space?
Yes.
Such as, you know, how people have added light, whether it's natural light or, you know, pendants or what, candles, yeah, whatever it is. Yeah,
definitely. Natural light is the basis to start with. So placement of the windows, how clean is the window? That's also a very important thing. Make sure that the windows are clean so that the light can enter, but you also have a good vision of what's happening around you. And then, as you say, lights in a way, no, so not the natural light, but the added light in a space, pendants, reading lamps, whatever you need to feel comfortable. And also it's important to have that in a nuanced way. So in the evening, we need light to feel comfortable in a space, but you don't want to be in the spotlight in the evening. So there should be light, but to what extent? That's a way, yeah, and that's always puzzling, but I'm sure that you recognize that in your work as well, that you want to, light is a very important factor that influences the atmosphere. Too little light makes a place very dull and stagnant, but too much light will feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah, again, so much is resonating, because I really, one of my things is I really can't stand dirty windows. and it just really bugs me. Like I have to, I've got four young children, and a dog. So, you know, inevitably they get dirty we've had so much rain. And so, you know, the rain against the windows, and if I can't see clearly through a window, it just bugs me. It just really kind of slowly chips away at my nerves. Yep. And I have to clean it. And I'll just kind of share this little story, but we've had some really bad flooding in our region, and I went to someone's house to help clean, because, you know, so many people here have been helping clean, and I was waiting for the other people to come, and I was kind of new to sort of this group of people cleaning. And I thought, well, I've got to do something. And I was looking around, and this woman whose home it was, she had these bifold doors to her balcony, and they were filthy because the place had been gurney. So it had a high pressure hose to clean like all the big, you know, the big dirt out of the place, because the flood waters had come really high. And now it was like kind of going through and giving it like that second or third clean just to kind of get it back. And I just thought, I'm going to clean the windows, because I just thought, you know, like I just wouldn't be able to, you know, I know that would bug me, and I know how nice it feels when your windows are clean. Mm. And so I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to start with. So yeah, it's interesting you say about how important it is to have clean windows, and that's something that you kind of consider. Yeah. So I'm curious, when you work with people, do you work with people more with their spaces that they've got now, or do you work with people who are at the very beginning process of if they're about to renovate their home? Do you sort of have any thoughts or ideas if somebody was to start designing their home from scratch? What are the factors to consider in their space? What sort of things do you look for? Yeah. Or encourage people, or sort of say, I'd avoid that, or, you know, or really try and enhance this?
Yeah. I find it more interesting whenever I work with people from their home. So just from their current situation, because the way that you decorate your space and what you've collected around you says so much about how you feel about the moment in life where you are. Are you at the crossroads? Do you have difficulties making decisions? Do you have difficulties expressing your boundaries? So I find it very interesting to look at a home as it is, because that's the beauty of feng shui. You can not only help people or help a person decorate a home, but you also help them in a way finding discovering helping them with their struggles. So it's twofold, because your home is the base of your life, so to say. But whenever someone is starting from scratch and building a home, it's important to look at how ideally the energy flows through your home. And we use a bagua for that within feng shui. It's a map which will organize all the different functions in a home. So the living room, the study, the kitchen, and it will advise you what the ideal location or the ideal arrangement of activities is in a home. So if you have the chance to build a home from scratch, it's a beautiful thing to take a bagua into account and see what would be a good way to organize that the space as a whole.
Can you share just a little bit? I'm really curious about this. Can you share a little bit more about that? Like what are some of the ideas behind it?
The idea behind the bagua is that the energy is built up in a specific way. So it starts very yin at the front door. The energy is very calm. It's very calm. It builds up, building up in the home. So it moves clockwise. It becomes more yang. It's most yang on the backside of the house. So you'd like to organize your activities in the same way. So have the rooms that you want to use for peace and quiet, resting and recharging, have them in the front of your home, and have the more active, more social activities in the spaces that are connected to a more yang type of energy. So have them in the halfway or in the back of your home.
Interesting. Yeah, because I mean, some homes have bedrooms at the front and you sort of walk in, and sometimes even the hallway, you know, you've got the bedrooms on either side of the hallway at the front of the house. So you're sort of saying that is actually quite good to have, is it? In some ways?
In a way, yes. But then ideally we would use the first floor to have the bedroom. So not when you enter the homes directly, but have it on a separate floor so that you don't mix those activities of the everyday life and then the whole level, which is the first level, which is connected to sleeping and recharging as a whole.
Okay, interesting. And so I've got to ask you, because when I was sort of looking through your work, and you talk about the 9-star key, is it? Mm-hmm. Or
yeah.
Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. 9-star key is a form of astrology. So it's, in a sense, it's feng shui astrology. It also works with the 5 elements and our 9-star key profile. It's it tells a lot about the elements that we're born with. So what kind of qualities do we have as a human being? And what elements, because there are three positions in our 9-star key profile, and there are 5 elements. So you would always, miss at least 2 elements in your personal profile. So it's also a way of seeing with which qualities am I born with, and what am I naturally struggling with in everyday life. For me, it was I got to learn myself in a very different way, and also recognized a lot of myself. So to illustrate it with my own example, I have a lot of wood in my 9-star key profile. Wood is optimistic, and wood is it's all about new beginnings and connections, but it can also be quite unstructured and moving into all different directions, just like a tree just moves in all different directions, but it's not structured unless someone else gives it structure by cutting some branches. So it was for me super interesting to find out that I know that, but I didn't actually realize it until I dived into my own profile. And knowing that, I also know what I have to work on. So I'm not a very structured person by nature, but I know that it will help me tremendously when I structure my everyday tasks, my weeks, my projects. So I understood what I need to work on. But we can also connect the 9-star key profile to our homes. So when you look at the Bagua, there will be different, when you look at a Bagua, there will be different elements, there will be different figures in a Bagua, which we can relate to our 9-star key profile. And with that, learn what is the most important part for you in a home. What is the most important place for you to sleep? Because that's also how you can use your 9-star key profile, so that you connect to the best energy type in your home.
So fascinating. So is it a series of questions? How do you
It's calculated
that?
Based on your birth date, your date of birth. So actually the year you're born in defines your first element. And then there are 2 other elements, and it's all about the interaction between those 3 elements that make up your personal energetic profile.
Wow. I'm just really, really fascinated by all this. Okay. So I want to ask you, before we kind of sort of get onto our rapid fire questions, a couple more questions about, you know, working with you and what is, I know you do consultations and with people. So what often happen, like what are some of the problems that people come to you with, or how do you help them? Can you just share a little bit about your process and what are some of the common things? Because that might be enlightening for other people.
Yeah. A very common problem or question that people approach me with is how do I take up my own space? So I feel overwhelmed. I have troubles expressing my boundaries. I have troubles making decisions for myself. I feel that there is something off in my home, and it's interrelated. So when you then look at a home, you sit with someone, you ask them questions about what's happening, and you look at the home from the energetic perspective, and you look at the Bagua, you'll see what spaces in the home need improvement. So they'll either have a lot of clutter in a certain corner in the home, unfinished business, delayed decision making, and that's what I help them with. So that's a common question that I come across, and health issues, people struggling with like physical issues that just keep on coming back. And then we'll look at the health position in a home and see what's been stored there or what's happening there in order to see what area needs improvement.
And can you give some examples of, well, I was going to ask you to give examples of then, you know, once you've helped these people, then how has that translated into their lives? But in particular, I'm really curious about the idea of clutter. And I know that is something that a lot of people struggle with, the emotional ties. And like you say, delaying decisions, you know, they hold on to things and they're sort of struggling to let go of them. How do you help people when it comes to that?
First of all, asking them, why do you hold on to this? So what's the reason you can't let go of it? Is it an emotional tie? Is it, for example, because you were given this vase by a person that you don't particularly like, or you don't particularly like the vase, but you like the person? So what's the reason you can't say goodbye to this particular vase? Every time you see the vase, your subconsciousness has a negative association with it. So either you are being remembered of a person that you don't feel good about, or you don't like the vase, but you still keep it in the home because you don't want to upset someone. But in the end, what you're doing is saying no to yourself time and time again, like, no, I cannot make my own decisions. No, I have to stick to this because I don't want to disappoint someone else, but you're disappointing yourself in a way. So that's when you make people aware of that, it's easier to make a decision and to say goodbye to stuff that's no longer serving you or helping you in life.
Yeah, really powerful. What about when people sort of say, well, I don't have the time. I really struggle to find the time to make it happen. Yeah. Do you have some kind of insights or advice for when people struggle to find the time to make their homes the way that they want it to be?
Well, how important is it for you to, they often know the result of making the home the way they want it to be. They will often know what it can bring them when they have less clutter, when they feel more free in their space, when they can, when they can breathe again in their home. They will know what it does to them. And it's just a matter of making them aware of the end result so that they're motivated. And when they first start, this feeling of being more free and of just experiencing that there is more energy in a space, it will happen quite soon. And that's what keeps someone motivated to keep on going, keep on eliminating clutter, keep on throwing away stuff. So just start and experience what it does so that you're motivated to continue.
And can you share then some of the, I guess, the sort of progress of some of your clients and what kind of transformations people have had or changes or perception changes after having kind of worked with you?
Yeah, definitely. I can also, for example, share my own experience with what it did to my home. So I had, for example, been single for a long, long time, but I really wanted a good relationship in my life. And there is a certain place in the home that's connected to relationships, the relationship to yourself and the relationship to others and love relationships. So I knew that that area demanded attention. And there was a lot of, I wasn't connected to that space. It wasn't decorated in a way that I liked it to be. So I paid attention to that. I got rid of some clutter that was in that corner. There were a lot of, the television was placed there, and there was a lot of clutter with cables. So cables can also stagnate the energy. So I knew, okay, I have to pay attention to this. I redecorated the space. I made it a place where I like to spend time more and more and more. And then it's not that magically one day your boyfriend will knock your door, but magically I was connected to a coach or a therapist that could help me figuring out, hey, but why do I struggle finding a nice person and finding that good and nourishing relationship? So that's how it works. You pay attention to a certain aspect in life, and something or someone will cross your path that will help you develop that aspect, which eventually led to me finding my current boyfriend and having a really nice relationship.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. I mean, I think that so much of what you say really resonates. You know, like I said, for me, there are things that are kind of intuitive, and I haven't always been able to put my finger on what it is, but I think a lot of it makes sense. I mean, it's based in kind of ancient, timeless ideas, really, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of connecting with that and creating a consciousness about it. So Yeah, it's really fascinating. So thank you. Well, before you go, I would like to ask you some. They're just kind of quick rapid fire style questions, just to kind of get a little bit more of an insight into you. So if you can share just whatever comes to mind, they're just a fun way to kind of get to know you a little bit better. So which five words best describe you?
Freedom, creativity, aesthetics, spirituality, development.
Okay.
Is that five?
Yeah, that's five. Okay. Yeah, great. What's the best life or career lesson you've learned?
Follow your dreams and just follow your feelings.
Beautiful. What's your proudest career achievement?
Well, I think making the decision to quit the financial job, re-educate myself and starting my own business. That's my proudest achievement so far.
What's been your best decision?
That connects to the previous answer. It's I'm very proud of that and it's been my best decision. The decision to just follow your dreams.
Wonderful. Who inspires you?
Ooh. Who inspires me? I don't have a particular person in mind, but every woman that that does something that is unique and that doesn't care too much about what other people think of that. And that can be a celebrity, but that it can also be friends or family members.
Great. What are you passionate about?
I am very passionate about my job, but also I have this thing with secondhand stores and thrift shopping, and I'm very passionate about that. I love it whenever I find a vintage piece of Scandinavian design for just a couple of euros. And I find it in a thrift shop being covered in dust somewhere in a corner. That's the best thing that can happen.
I'm curious, actually, what about the tea of sort of like secondhand items? Because obviously they've had this other life. And I do believe that there's kind of objects embody their lives, you know, and the touch of the people, and there's an energy in objects.
Yeah, there is definitely. There is, I mean, they were owned by someone else before. So that energy of the previous owner can still stick around an object. So whenever you buy something secondhand, it's important to clean it. And to when cleaning it, also set an intention, like you can say it out loud or just feel it, like, this is mine now. This will now enhance my home. And by cleaning it, you'll get rid of the energetics of the previous owner.
Yeah, it's, again, like, that's something I always do whenever I get something that's like from somewhere else, then I always clean it. I often paint things as well. I like kind of giving something a new energy or a new life. So, I mean, often it's like I paint it black or white or
but it's a way of giving it your signature, of giving it your, putting your imprint on something and just saying, okay, this is ours now, or this is mine. This is now an object in my home and it's no longer connected to the prior owner.
Yep. I'm glad you're reassuring me. What dream do you still want to fulfill?
I'd love to one day have a physical space where people can just come to and experience what feng shui can do for them in order to, eliminate, if there is any threshold at all, but eliminate the threshold that there is to experiencing and inviting feng shui in your life. I'd love to have a space. I don't know if that would be a store or just a space, an inspirational space. I'm not sure yet how that will how that will come to life, but that is one of the dreams that I still have.
That's great. What are you reading at the moment?
I am reading a book by Karen Kingston. It's translated in Dutch, but it has to do with eliminating clutter and what clutter is all about, because I like to just, there are, within feng shui, there are different schools, and they, all of them have a different approach, and they have a different way of enhancing a space. And they also say different things, and so they're difficult to combine, but I find it very inspiring how other people deal with the topic. So that's what I'm reading at the moment.
Oh, I'll have to get that one. I haven't heard about that one. What are you listening to? Do you listen to podcasts or music? What do you like listening to?
I listen, when I go for walks, I listen to podcasts, podcasts on personal development, podcasts on, mainly personal development for inspiration. So that's what I really like. I love listening to yours as well, but also to other Dutch people that have podcasts. I listen to a lot of them. And when I work, I like to have music around me. There is a playlist on Spotify. I think it's called Lo-Fi Beats, and it's just very calm, instrumental. It makes me focus.
Great. I'll have to check that one out. I'm really bad at playlists. Like, I can never find good ones. So I definitely will check that one out. What piece of advice would you give to your younger self?
You don't need permission to make decisions that make you happy. Because that's what my younger self was very much concerned with. What would others think if I take this direction, or what would others think if I do it differently than others?
Yeah, I can relate to that, and it's just amazing. I just, how we build that up in our head. I don't know how that evolves, but we can get so trapped in that, isn't it? Just worrying about what other people think, or worrying about, I was going to say doing the right thing, not that you shouldn't do the right thing, but, sort of worrying about everything else around you rather than what feels instinctively right for you.
It's weird. Yeah. It's weird. And sometimes one of the best advices I ever had was, sometimes saying yes to someone else is saying no to yourself. But it's sometimes I find it fascinating how we can just say, how we can commit to things that no longer make us happy, or that no longer help us any further. But I think it's a natural tendency that a lot of people have.
Yeah, so interesting. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It has been so fascinating to learn about your work and your insights, and for sharing your tips and advice. So can you share with the listeners if they would like to connect with you, or how they can find you? Can you just share some of the different ways?
Definitely. Thank you for asking. Well, if they want to connect with me, they can find me on Instagram. So my name is Julie Deronde. They can find me on the internet, my webpage, which is also, when you look on my Instagram, you'll find a link where you can go to my webpage. If they would like to connect, I work with video consultations. So because I'm based in the Netherlands, it's sometimes, even within the Netherlands, difficult to have a quick one-on-one consultation. So I also do video consultations. You can book one directly through my website, but my website is in Dutch, so that might be a bit difficult, but people can always send me a direct message on Instagram so that we can have a chat, get to know each other, and see how feng shui can help you and what your interest would be.
I'll give everyone a tip, because I discovered this when I was looking at your website, is that if you type your name, so Julie Deronde, and we'll put a link to this in the show notes, but if you type your name into Google, then it says, there's a little link that says translate this page. And if you click on translate this page, then it translates into English. I mean, I'm not sure. I obviously, some people are Spanish, speakers. So I don't know if it kind of automatically works out what your sort of native language is on Google, but for me, it translated it into English. So sometimes there's a little bit of a lag. I noticed I clicked on one blog post and then some of the others still seem to be in Dutch, but then it slowly did it. So that's a little hack for anybody who wants to check out your website. And I highly encourage people to do so because you've actually got some really great resources and tips on there and an ebook, which I have downloaded and I will, although your ebook is not in English, so we'll have to try and get you to translate your ebook.
Yeah, I will definitely.
That would be a great resource. But I think the blog posts are a really great starting point because you share lots of really helpful tips and advice. And your Instagram is really great as well. I was enjoying going through it as well. So once again, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. And it's been really fun. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really much enjoyed it.
All of the links and info for this episode are at nataliewalton.com/podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so that you can get a direct download of the latest episode. And I really appreciate when you take a minute to rate and review, as well as share the love with someone you know who might benefit from this episode or on social media. If you'd like to access a range of free resources, come visit my website, nataliewalton.com. Thank you to Jaeger Media for producing this podcast. And I would also like to acknowledge the people of the Bundjalung Nation where it was recorded and pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. I look forward to connecting again soon. I'm Natalie Walton, and you've been listening to Imprint.